Thank you. And thank you for the opportunity you've allowed us at Lifeway Christian Resources to be a part of your campus again. 2 years ago, I was able to be here, and the first time actually that I had been on the Southeastern campus, and it was a joy of my life to be here at that time and to share with you. I hope you'll take advantage of coming by the Student Center and picking up some of our free material and having conversations with us as you would like to. And remember the announcement about Charlie Hawkins. He'd be glad to talk with you if you have an interest in being employed at Lifeway Christian Resources. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Matthew, the 11th chapter. One other word of commercial, but a very important word, and that is the next two chapel services, tomorrow morning and Thursday morning, you have the opportunity to hear Dr. Jimmy Draper, and that is a wonderful opportunity, folks. He is one of God's really anointed preachers. One that is person has meant a lot to my life over the years, and not just because he is now the leader of our institution. So I hope that you'll be here and take advantage of hearing him and what God has to say through him during these next days. I want to share, beginning with verse 1 of chapter 11, and then we will, after reading a few verses, go to verse 25. Reading from the New International Version, you follow along, please. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." Now let's go to verse 25. At that time Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Let's pray again together. Father, I pray that you might help us during these next moments, that we might learn some new truths from your revealed written word, that you might reveal to us things from your Holy Spirit that we need individually for the living of these days. And Father, that you might remind us of some old truths, things that we know but we have not thought of in a long while or just this way. And may it all be, Father, so that each one of us present here might be able to be more effective servants for your kingdom's sake. Father, I thank you for each one of these in this building, for their commitment to you, for their willingness to serve you. And I pray now that your word might minister to them through your Holy Spirit in a very special way. For I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Since October of this last year, I have been serving in Leader Care Ministries at Lifeway Christian Resources. Leader Care Ministries seeks to serve both in initiative taking and an intervention in the life of people who serve our churches in the Southern Baptist Convention. We do a lot of different things, and I won't go into those. Part of that is that we seek to reach out to people who are serving in a way that will help both the congregations, which is part of my responsibility, and individuals like yourself to know how we can be more effective individually in God's work. And you know, we keep trying to make this quite a lot more complicated than it really is. When I think about that, I think about a little nonsensical story about an elderly lady who walked into the doctor's office, and she was stooped over and she was walking with a cane like this, and she walked in. She had been that way for about a year, and she had found this cane and she was walking like this, and she hobbled into the doctor's office. When she came out a little bit later, she was walking straight. She still had a cane, but she was walking straight. And some of the folks said, "What in the world did the doctor do?" She looked at the person who asked that question with a little bit of an amazement in her face, and she said, "He gave me a taller cane." Folks, it seems like she would have known to not reach over and walk all bent over, but there are some of us who have not learned the simple truth in our life that God is there through His Holy Spirit to help us to meet all of the different crises experiences of life. It's a simple truth. And yet we hear some people describe their situation as mildewing right in the middle of life. We hear other people in church positions say that I used to be lost in the shuffle and now I'm just shuffling along with the lost. And the problem with that is that when that happens, when we who are leaders of the church begin to lose our spirit and we begin to get blah within our spirit, then the congregations begin to catch that from us. Let me give you some statistics. Actual survey results. 90% of the pastors and staff in the Southern Baptist Convention feel inadequately trained to cope with ministry demands. Actual statistics, 70% of people surveyed say they have a lower self-esteem in ministry now than when they began. Someone else pointed out in their denomination, not Southern Baptist, that on any given day, maybe 10% of the pastors in their area were caught in a deep stress situation to the point where they were just about ready to throw up their hands. And said almost everybody was fighting the blahs in one way or another. Reminds me of the guy that had the little, I think it was one of Barbara Johnson's books, had the little saying that said, this is what he planned to do today. He planned to get up to survive and then go back to bed. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but there's more to life than that for me. There really is. It can be. Now, I realize that for some of us sitting in this room this morning, what I'm saying to you may not be on the cutting edge, but believe me, it will be. For life is more than just passing one test or a series of tests to get by a course. The test never stops. Now, how are we going to do that? Somebody said that there is nothing that is louder than the sounds of our spirit turning gray. There's nothing louder than the sound of our spirits turning gray. And this scripture helps us to know how to keep that from happening. And the scripture is very incisive about that. For it tells us that there's some reasons why our spirits turn gray to begin with. One of those reasons, one of those strong reasons, is that we get disappointed with the inconsistencies and unfairness of life. In verse 2, we find John the Baptizer in prison. John the Baptizer had been in prison for a while, thrown in prison by an ungodly king, thrown there to finally have his life taken away from him. One who had served God, one who had been faithful to God, one who had been the voice crying in the wilderness. How much more unfair can you get than that? John is sitting there and he's stewing a little bit because he has not heard anything. And besides that, he really felt like that somehow Jesus should have acted before now. We'll come back to that one. Remember a saying I saw a long time ago, person said, I don't remember when I first found out that life was unfair, but I've been mad about it ever since. Well, folks, I have a kind of an offbeat friend who has a saying, you might as well get over and get on with some things. Well, if you want to make life fair, you better get over it and get on with it because it's not going to happen, is it? It's not going to happen. And our idealism is not going to create it either. We have to learn to suffer and to be patient during the suffering because God's timing and our timing don't match very well, do they? Now, God said to pray to Him. Follow me carefully. God said to pray to Him, and God Himself would work through situations, but He never said that He would work through it at our timing. God, through the years, has given me some promises in prayer, and I have believed those and I have held on to those, but I can remember one about a situation in my own family where it took about 7 to 10 years before the final culmination of that promise came to pass. And there were times during that period when I wanted God with all of my strength and being to get it on. But he didn't work like that. John the Baptizer was sitting in prison. And in John's view, things should have already happened. But God was working in a different way. You see, there's sometimes we just plain get tired, grow weary, the scripture says. This is a picture of someone who is in the work and they really get bone tired, weary. Been there? You really been there? Psychologically, physically, you're tired. What causes that to happen? Well, folks, in God's work, working time after time after time without visible results will get us there. And sometimes in churches that God leads us to, we're not going to see immediate visible results. And then I remember the Bagbys who went to Brazil and spent all those years in Brazil without one convert. I remember a couple who was in seminary with me those many years ago who went to Malaysia and were 7 years there without one convert. But they kept on going. They kept on sharing. We get tired because of criticism from difficult people. Folks, hear me. All of us have difficult people in our lives. Nobody likes criticism, particularly when it comes from folks who don't really like us all that much. In fact, I remember the little saying that I picked up along the way. I think it was Frank Pollard, pastor at First Baptist Church in Jackson, Mississippi, from whom I first heard it. It says, to live above with those we love, that will be glory, but to live below with those we know. Now, that's another story. And we're going to have to learn how to deal with the difficult people and the criticism that comes our way. We get tired from doing things in our own strength. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But when we go out and try to do God's work in man's strength, folks, we can get zapped really fast in a heartbeat. And the temptation that Satan puts before us is that we would do that we would give ourselves and expend ourselves instead of letting him strengthen us and keep us going, as we'll see in a moment, from the wrong motivation. And that motivation is the love of God in our hearts. I want to ask you a simple question this morning, and I want you to think about it. I want you to take it away from this place. If you forget anything else, remember this, and take this question and let it roll around and around in your heart through all the days to come. What part does the love of God play in anything that we do? What does love have to do with it? What does agape, unconditional, forgiving, yielding, serving love have to do with it? If it doesn't have all to do with what you're about at this seminary in God's work, if it's not for the love of Christ Jesus, if it's not given on His altar, then we had better examine what we're doing, because we'll break up at some point. We'll crash and burn. I was on a plane several years ago now, and there was a lady that sat beside me that was busily crocheting an afghan. I'm used to that. My wife has done that through the years as we've traveled along. Usually had one that she was crocheting. This one was a little different. She was crocheting this for her mother. And that's not unusual either. But what I found out was she was crocheting this afghan for her mother, and she was on her way to her mother's bedside, knowing that her mother either would be dead shortly after she got there, or maybe even before she got there. And I thought, that's remarkable. Here was a lady whose love for her mother was motivating and moving her to crochet this afghan, even though her mother may never use it in this life. The love of Christ keeps us going regardless, folks. Regardless, we may not see the visible results immediately, but the love of Christ keeps us going. Second thing we see from this passage is that if we are going to keep our spirits from turning gray, we take advantage of the rest that Christ gives to us. Now, the interesting thing about rest is there are all different kinds of rest. There's the rest that you get when you lay down prone on a bed and you just rest for a while. All of us need that. There's a rest from the break from work, vacations. I was with a person this last week who said that with a lot of pride, I don't take vacations. That is a gross mistake in that person's life. A gross mistake. But there's also rest in the midst of whatever we're doing. There's a product out here. I'm not necessarily hawking this product, but it's called Slick 50. It is meant to be an additive to an automobile engine or to other engines that help the machine work freer and better so that the machine can keep on going on and on and on. The rest that is talked about here is not the rest where you just quit doing something. It is the rest that Christ gives to us that enables us to keep on going in the midst of the work. Never stop. He said, I will give you that rest. I'll give you that ability. But you've got to take my yoke upon you. You've got to get in partnership with me. Now, the interesting thing about a yoke was something that fit around the neck. We understand that. But a yoke is something that you had where there was one animal over here and another over here. And the ones that I've seen, there was not necessarily an equal partnership. And there's never an equal partnership where our partnership with God is concerned. God's always the stronger. God's always pulling more than I can pull. God's always giving me more strength than I can possibly have. And He always tailor makes what I need to my situation. My yoke is easy, He says. My yoke is easy. Not from the standpoint that the work of Christ is easy, folks. The work of Christ is not always easy from a human standpoint. But what He gives to us is the ability through His strength to have a customized strength for my situation in the moment where I live. It's also the rest of knowing that my labor is not in vain. John sent his disciples to Jesus. And he said, go and find out if this is really who he says he is. Now remember, this is the person who was out there in the wilderness wearing those weird clothes, eating that strange stuff. Now, if you don't think they're weird clothes, we need to talk to you a little later. Wearing all that stuff, eating that stuff, proclaiming Christ, it was the person of whom Christ said, I am not worthy to even strap up his laces. And yet John said, would you go and find out if this is really who he says he is? Folks, that's where Satan gets us. Sometimes we don't need to get that way. We shouldn't get that way, but we can get that way. And we need to know that our labor is never in vain in the Lord. What did Jesus tell him? If you'll remember it again, what did he say? Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Everything I said was going to happen is happening, John. It is happening. Folks, we need to leave the results to God. Back a number of years ago, I was involved with lay witness training, and I was in on the WIN program, Witness Involvement Now, and that's when I first came face to face with something that has held me since then, and that is that witnessing is sharing Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. I don't win anybody, but Christ wins everybody. But that principle applies in other areas, doesn't it? You see, I can get people down an aisle any Sunday morning I want to, but they won't stick. But if Christ gets them down the aisle, they stick. There's a difference. Let's leave the results to God. Be faithful in what we're supposed to do. What did Paul say over in 1 Corinthians 4? He said, we are stewards of the manifold mysteries of Christ. The word mystery there, of course, has to do with the mystery religions. It is that which was hidden. And he said, there are certain things that are hidden, and my responsibility is to make it plain and then let Christ do his work in the hearts of people. We leave the results to Christ. And folks, it means that through Christ's help, our times of burden and crisis can be times where Christ can use it as a testimony to what He can do in our lives. I hope your life is a testimony to what Christ can do, not what your strength alone can do. I hope when people see your life, they will say, there goes a person that can only do that because Christ is working through them. And they lift up Christ. Whether they lift up you or not is not really important, is it? But it is if we lift up Christ. How do we do it all? We reach out to Christ. There's several action words in here. He said, come unto me. Come unto me, and I will give you this rest. And we have to take the step. Now, that's hard for some of us to do. We have to lay our pretense aside. You know what I find some people are having trouble doing in Christ's work? They're having trouble taking that step because they're afraid of what people will say about them. Throw our pretense away. Throw our pride away. Don't wait. Just come to Him. I stood in this place 2 years ago. Unknowing to me at that time. And something I found out in August of 1998. I had a cancer growing in my body. I would never have known that had not God led a very excellent technician when they were looking for something else to discover this. She said, I was just doing my job. I said, no, you don't understand. You were doing your job. You saved my life. But God led that person to that. The point I'm making here, though, is that I would never have known that was going on in my life if I had not been willing to take the initiative in having an annual physical. See, guys, you ladies that are present, you may not understand this, but guys don't go to doctors very much. We sort of put it off. Come on, guys. But you see, I came to the point and God put it on burden on my heart, and I know now exactly why. And I went to the doctor. They found it. They took care of it. Everything is fine. There's no problem. It's gone. God took care of it. And folks, there are things that are going on in our life that unless we're willing to put before the great physician and say, Lord, take care of it, it's going to consume us. If I had waited, I might not be here today, physically. You can't wait. And the other thing we do is we learn from Christ. We let Christ be our teacher. Learn from me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. Let Him be the elder in our relationship. Let Him rekindle the love in our life. Remember the scripture over in Revelation, the second chapter? Christ said to one of the churches, you know, you really are doing some good stuff. You hate the things I hate. You love some of the things I... But you know, you really are doing some good stuff. But I have somewhat against you. I have one thing that's a problem. And that is you've left your first love. Folks, I pray God will help me not to do that. And I pray God will help you not to do that. Let Him rekindle that spark going within your life as you move along. You see, what Christ gives us, we need to receive and use through His Holy Spirit for His glory and His power. And He will take all that you learn, all that the professors teach you here, and all the experiences that you have, and you will come out here to a point where you'll learn that Christ is using all of this to make you a more effective servant, but at the same time the tension comes because Satan is pulling at you to pull you away and keep you from being an effective servant. For if he can stop you in your steps, if he can keep you from doing that as he's doing countless hundreds of servants of Christ every day because they don't recognize the battle they're in, then in some small way Satan hinders the kingdom of Christ. And that's what he's about, isn't it? Luther Bridges died in 1948. Before he died, he wrote some of our hymns. One of the hymns that he wrote in approximately 1910. He wrote it out of the deep hurt of his life. He was an evangelist and he was out preaching, I believe in the St. Louis area, when the word came to him that his wife and child had died. The person left and he shut himself up in the room for days. He just stayed there all of those days. Someone finally came back to him about 3 days later and knocked on the door and said, "Brother Bridges, are you all right?" And he said, "Yes." And there was a different countenance on his face. And they looked and he had penned a hymn poem during those days. And that poem goes, "There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He keeps me singing everywhere I go." Let's stand together. Father, I thank you for these men and women who are in this room to serve you, the professors who lead them, the administrators who lead them, each one who are students. Father, I pray that you might nurture them with your Spirit, embrace them with your love, infuse them with a strength beyond their understanding. And Father, I would pray that they would be enabled to win every battle that Satan brings their way. For your glory, for your kingdom's sake, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Dr. Buchanan has an announcement to make.
Before you leave, I want to call your particular attention to 2 o'clock this afternoon in Adams 211. Our curriculum specialist, Linda, will be presenting the curriculum for a new century. And I know you want to avail yourself of that opportunity to hear about the new curriculum that's coming from Lifeway and how you can use it in your church. And also, Bob and Robert Wagner will be over in Ledford Center. We're dismissed.